For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
There are some people who have something we require, and we want you to get it from them.
You ever kill anybody?
I hurt somebody's feelings once.
You're labor or management?
If I was management, I wouldn't have given you a secret.
Who and how many are going to be coming after us?
You worried about saving your own skin?
Yeah, I am. It covers my body.
You just can't hold out forever. Impossible.
Oh! Almost a bit of raspberry jam right there, eh?
What's the color of the boathouse in here for?
I don't like your attitude.
The color of the boathouse.
Oh, fuck off!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Heat Minute Productions. I'm Blake Howard, the host, producer of all the shows that we do here. And this is a preview episode. The upcoming series is Ronin on John Frankenheimer's 1998. Ronin, starring Robert De Niro, Jean Reno, bunch of other great actors, Stellan Skarsgård. We're going to talk more about it. But I want to take you back, way back to One Heat Minute. Our sort of origins story show, I spoke to a person I didn't know but immediately fell in love with about Henry Rollins in shorts. And that amazing guest.
I think it was on my episode. I said, have you seen Den of Thieves?
Yes. and I said, oh, you're going to make me watch this movie. And I did. You heard her voice. It is the amazing Katie Walsh. No, you're allowed to interrupt me. You're one of a few that I'm like, go, please. I've wound you up. You're ready to go. It's the legendary Katie Walsh. She's a Tribune News Service critic, but most importantly, she is the co-lead of the series of Michael Mann films that are the modern man campfire, the horniest films of all time, on the great show Miami Nice. It's Katie Walsh here with me. And she said something to me in a text message in the Australian summer, American kind of end of year, beginning of this year. Blake, I just saw Den of Thieves 2. It's dumb Ronin. And I immediately bought a ticket. I was like, I wasn't keen to see it. But here she is. It's Katie Walsh. So to kick off this Ronin series, it feels only appropriate that you help me be the tip of the spear of this series and talk about dumb Ronin. Den of Thieves 2, Pantera.
It's not about the money. It's about the challenge.
Let's go, let's go!
Can I get in?
Can I get your head?
And get out.
We're clean, we're clean.
Without anyone even knowing I was there.
You and I are part of this weird symbiosis. So you only exist because of me.
Word is that they fired your ass.
I'm broke and I'm sick of being the hunter. Your next job, I'm going to do it with you. I want to meet these Panthers.
Well, because I was like, with Den of Thieves, I was like, you have to see Den of Thieves. It's dumb heat. Yeah. And then I saw Den of Thieves 2 and I was like, it's fucking dumb Ronin. And, you know, only just like in the spine of it, right? Like,
yeah.
Den of Thieves 1, amazing film, by the way. We did do one Den of Thieves hour,
yes.
Which I think it was very early on in our friendship, and it's like kind of unlistenable. I did listen to it because my internet connection's really bad and I was sick, and like, so I sound weird and it's like disconnecting and stuff. But I was sort of like feebly trying to convince you that this movie was funny and stupid in a good way. Like stupid complimentary, and you were just not having it at
all.
No,
I wasn't.
And I was just like, yeah, I think like my praise was kind of tepid. And then I was rewatching Den of Thieves in anticipation of two Pantera, and I'm like, this movie is so fucking stupid, and I love it so much.
That's good.
Like I could just go off on the stupid things about this movie that I love, but. Then when I saw two, I was like, oh, they did another Robert De Niro movie. They did Ronin. And I just really, I have to give it up to Christian Gutekunst. Like, bro, what's next? Dumb Godfather. dumb intern. Like, what is next?
Dumb intern would be so good. 10 years old too. One other thing I want to say, I want to shout out to Kristen Gutekunst, particularly for this, because it is Dumb Ronin for sure. I actually enjoyed the second one more than the first one, just because I was like, I genuinely enjoyed it more because I was like, oh, it's at least got different flavors there. But I just wanted to say, when Katie said it's Dumb Ronin, I'm like, okay. And she's like, well, it's not exactly, she was trying to sort of like, you know, when I say that, it's just like cute. But it's just got a lot of similarities. It's this group of people. It's led by a woman. They're not necessarily.
They're a niece. They're doing car chases.
They're niece and car chases. So it's got all of the same, like, I guess, foundational ingredients, but the flavors are different. Like, it's much more in the Den of Thieves style. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah, gotcha. Jerry Butler grinding on people at parties, which Katie has seen firsthand.
With my own eyes.
With her own eyes. I was, when he was dancing at that party, I was like, oh, God.
I made eye contact with Gerard Butler at a Halloween party when he was grinding a 23-year-old underneath a palm tree. And his shirt was open, bare chest out. And he and I looked right into each other's eyes.
No wonder you love Den of Thieves.
Most awkward moment of my life.
Most awkward or transcendent. I'm going to say it's transcendent.
Actually, that was after Den of Thieves.
Oh, wow.
That was like a year after Den
of Thieves. No wonder it's one of your favorite movies. I mean, you just lived it. So I go along to this movie. And literally, in the first scene of the movie, there is a needle drop from Ronan. And the character's code names are Ronan.
Yes.
And it's happening. And I'm like, oh, he's not fucking around. Like, Kristen Gutekunst is kind of like Michael Bay levels of obvious. And yes. I was like, you know what? I like this movie instantly about how brash and unashamed.
It's very brash because it's not enough to like set your movie in Nice and like have these iconic car chases where like people are shooting each other in the cars and stuff. Like that's a, you know, set piece from Ronan. He's like, in case you didn't get it, the code name is Ronan.
The character's code name is Ronan. And I'm going to use like the iconic needle drop from Ronan as the score to the opening scene, which it does in Ronan. And I was like, so it just made sense for me. In the spirit of Kristen Gutekunst, to start a John Frankenheimer Roman series by literally talking about the movie that like is so ripping it off and homaging it that it like uses the same needle drops and says codename Ronan. So this is our codename Ronan.
Codename Ronan.
Codename Ronan scene. But it was a fun movie. Our friends Vice and Brandon Streisand, huge fans of it. Lots of people out there gave it a lot of love. They're making a sequel to it. I saw someone write an article the other day that Kristen Gutekunst has beat Michael Mann at his own game by creating a sequel to his heist movie. And I was like, that person really needs to get a grip. Really.
Can I just say I have a bone to pick. With this like praise for Den of Thieves 2 Pantera, because also, I have to say, I'm not on Twitter anymore, X, whatever. Like, my account is there. It's private. I have not posted since November 6th. or 7th, whatever the fuck day it was, 2024, put the pieces together as you will. So I'm like totally out of the loop on discourse, but I had heard from some people that people were like really praising Den of Thieves 2. And I'm like, no, this is residual praise for Den of Thieves because people didn't know what to make of the first movie. And they were like, this movie sucks. And then they're like, no, it's actually hilarious and funny. And, but the reason why Den of Thieves works and Den of Thieves 2 Pantera does not work for me particularly, and it can work for you and that's fine, is that Den of Thieves 1, straight face, dead serious, earnest. Den of Thieves 2 Pantera knows it's funny and is like leaning into it, and it's a little bit too self-aware. So I'm just like, no, I need the deadly serious earnestness for me to enjoy the humor of like rotted out Jerry Butler
eating a donut out of a crime scene sort of deal.
Yes.
Whereas for me, and this is where I have more praise for it, is I am less connected to Den of Thieves 2, because even though we're joking around saying it's dumb run and it has these elements in it, and you know, it's obviously homaging it and sometimes directly trying to rip it off, I wasn't as precious. My favorite film of all time is Heat. I'm watching this thing straight-facedly trying to tell me it's something new. And just like, I think we talked about it's like, you know, Heat, if it was like Axe body spray remade Heat, someone did that great, like that great quote. I was like, so for me, I'm too close. I'm watching them going like, this is all like hyper-adrenalized, testosterone-fueled, nonsense, blustery, bullshit Heat. Not the stuff that I like. So for me, I'm immediately like railing against it.
Right.
Whereas when I watch this, I'm like, oh, cool, a car chase. Oh, cool, a heist. Interesting. I'm like, there's bits and pieces there. And Jerry Butler just like going for it and having no other noise around him. It's almost like the Jerry Butler gets centered because like he is part of a two-part story in that, or a three-part if you count O'Shea Jackson Jr. And it's like there's this thing where it kind of shifts, like it does a nice shift in the location. Maybe I was just like, and also it was like the first movie I started the year. It was my first movie of the year. It was Den of Thieves 2. And I was like,
yeah, absolutely. You're like, I'm back in the theater.
I'm back,
like,
I'm back baby. I'm back.
No, I can see like you went in probably with like really low expectations and then you just had fun.
I had fun. And I was like, you know what? It was really dumb, but it was like in the perfect way to enjoy it. Whereas like Ronin, which is, I know, is a movie that's much more close to my heart than yours, is like that movie is something that is like grown in infinite levels of rewatchability, is a movie about subtlety, is a movie about like small lean power plays. It's a movie about detail. It's a movie where, because of the great Mamet script, even though he's off the wall these days, but at the time, it's a movie with a Mamet script that is so like finely tuned and has some of the coolest fucking dialogue that has ever been spoken in a movie. Just like, he's just throwing it away. Like, he's so good at that point, he can just do anything, and all the characters are awesome. And then Frankenheimer, who I'm a huge admirer of as a filmmaker and has been hugely influential to all action filmmakers, right from Michael Bay to, you know, you name it, people have been influenced by Frankenheimer all the way back. Like, some of, you know, even Guillermo del Toro talks about him being like the best action director ever. I am such a huge fan of everything they do action wise in that movie. It's actually staggering how good the action is. So I think if you're going to be reaching for something, I feel like it's nice, because I feel like the Bourne trilogy kind of ate Ronan's lunch and like dwarfed it out of pop culture memory in a way, because it's like it kind of was doing some of the same stuff. But I'm such a huge fan of that movie. So I was like, oh, cool, like another European heist, eclectic bunch of people, multilingual.
Yeah. And I love that structure, that framework, you know?
Yeah.
I think what Pantera was lacking was a good villain.
Yeah.
Because there was no like friction there. And I actually think Pablo Schreiber is such an integral element to Den of Thieves, because I mean, first of all, the dude, he's just like, his nostrils are flared the entire movie. He's like, just like seething with rage
seething.
The whole time and like yoked out of his mind. Like the amount of steroids on that set
the
had
roid,
to be insane.
The roid rage. The roid rage. People at lunch, you know how you see like people put like cucumbers on their eyes to get rid of the bags and stuff? On those sets, people were being rubbed down with peptides in their lunch breaks just to restore the musculature.
They're enormous. Everyone in that movie is huge in a scary way. And just but Pablo is like so deadly serious. Like he's just like seething with anger, and like there's this level of like danger and unpredictability that I think is like a really important sort of like part of making that dynamic work, because like Big Nick is a total goofball. I mean, he's like in this sheriff gang or whatever, but he's like so pathetic. My absolute favorite scene on my rewatch is he pulls up after his night of being in the stripper flop house with the sheriff, with the sheriff's gang, and he's like been eating fried chicken and like intimidating O'Shea Jackson Jr. He pulls up to his house at like 6 a.m. He's listening to the song "Then You Really Might Know What It's Like" by Everlast. Totally straight face needle drop. Like,
oh Jesus Christ.
Yes, I'm serious. And then he inside, he like drinks like a carton of milk, and then his wife comes down the stairs and she's like, "What about this text?" And he has texted his wife like, "Hey baby, that was really hot, like that was awesome," like as he's texted her like something for another woman, obviously. And then she kicks him out. He has this like pathetic goodbye to his daughters where he's like, "Daddy loves you," and he's just the most pathetic creature. And then, like, he's kind of goofy and stuff in two. And, like, O'Shea is great. Like, he's so fun. I love him as a screen presence. But it kind of turns into a buddy comedy.
Yes.
And I'm like, no, we need someone scary. And you cannot convince me that this fucking Sardinian grandpa is scary.
No, he's not.
I also couldn't tell apart anybody in this movie. I was like, is this the Sicilian mafia or the Balkan mafia? All of these guys look alike.
And you're
I don't know who is doing what.
And you're like, I have face blindness for Eastern European.
I did. I was like, it's like a bunch of like salt and pepper, like vaguely European men driving Audis. I don't know who is who. Like, who is saving them? Who is chasing them? Like, it was very confusing for me. Just like wasn't a good villain. But Pablo's a great villain. I mean, listen, I love absolutely Big Nick's introduction in the movie.
Oh yeah,
which is like Los Angeles divorce court, and then he's like peeing in a urinal. Come on, I mean, we love Big Nick.
We love Big Nick, and it was giving Kristen Kudigas and people talking about Jerry Butler's like this is his best performance ever in his career. It was really giving one of your favorites, who is the great director, and I've just lost his name, who directed Too Fast, Too Furious. John Singleton.
John Singleton, yeah.
I remember an interview where John Singleton was talking about like Paul Walker, and he's like, yeah, like in this movie, Paul Walker's like, I'm really making this kid act. And then you see the movie and you're like, what do you mean? He's just Paul Walker, bro. He's not doing anything
what
different.
What does he say? He's like, don't worry about it, cuh.
Yeah, don't worry about it, cuh.
I don't know if that's the exact line, but he says "cuh" at some point, like as in cousin.
Yeah,
and like, yeah,
yeah. So I just remember. So everyone's
I do
saying
love
that,
Too
like,
Fast for Years, though, but I don't think Paul Walker is doing like Academy Award level acting.
And that's what I think that people like. I know that they're probably poking fun too, but like Brandon and Vice were like, give him an Academy Award. Like he's killing.
Oh no!
I was like,
come on,
I
he's better in Den of Thieves 1.
Now that's that's going to get him his, what do you call it? His career retrospective Oscar, when they have to have him pulling a donut out of a crime scene and eating it on a big screen at the Academy Theater.
Oh my God.
But you guys are going to experience something a little bit more serious, something a little bit more deep divey. I just couldn't resist talking to Katie Walsh about Dumb Ronin and thanking her because she knew the language that was going to get me into a movie theater immediately. A text to our group chat. herself.
I'm also
myself.
Pretty sure. Wait, I'm going to check the date. I'm pretty sure I texted you this like the week the fires were rampaging LA.
It was probably close. It was close.
And I was like, I have to tell him.
Yeah. I'm going to go back. Oh, there's lots of other texts that we were texting.
I know. Okay, what day was it?
I've got it. Let's find the day.
It was January 8th. That's literally the day. That was the worst day.
Blake.
I said, Blake, now is not a good time for me to do this, LOL. But I need to tell you that Den of Thieves 2 is Dumb Ronin. 3:31 p.m. on January 8th. The Eaton fire was like rampaging.
And then I was trying
to write the review. I was like, how do I review Den of Thieves 2 Pantera? As my phone is going insane, being like, you need to evacuate.
And then like a day later, I didn't even send you a text because I was so worried about you at that time. Like I had a text about me seeing it. I was just sending you messages, making like, I hope you're safe, da 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 da. And then the response that you gave me the next day was like, I can't believe you went to Den of Thieves 2, Pantera, because you'd seen me on social media post that I'd gone to see it. Such is the power of Katie Walsh, people. You got to listen to her recommendations. When she says those magic series of words for you and they hit you right in the heart, you need to go and do this. And I was like, well, this is why we're talking, because Roman is coming out. You're going to have, for anyone who doesn't know anything about the series, there's going to be 12 episodes. I'm breaking the movie down into parts. We're keeping it as concise as a well-oiled heist plan when you're stealing something you don't even know what it is. We've got an amazing lineup of guests that are going to come on and just wax lyrical about this terrific movie that has aged beautifully. But I thought that because it just wanted to, for nothing else, that I get to talk to Katie Walsh, that it would be fun for us to talk about it as a little preview episode. Katie Walsh, you're amazing. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me on once again to talk about Den of Thieves.
Yeah, really. You're emphatically selling Den of Thieves. Softer on Pantera, but let's just say when you said it was Dumb Ronin, I'm like, you couldn't be more right. I actually don't. We have to really pick. The next one has to be, and Jen Johans, who's a friend, was saying like, I feel like this is more like Miami Vice. I'm like, no. It's not his Miami Vice. It's Dumb Ronin. But I think in the sequence, he jumps from 95 with Dumb Heat to 98.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Robert De Niro filmography.
Well, the next Michael Mann movie is Collateral, so he could maybe do
that's LA.
And or Miami Vice. So I think maybe the next one might be Dumb Miami Vice. So
that would be fun. I mean, I could see O'Shea and Big Nick, you know, party in the city when the heat is on all night and the pink to the breaking. I could see them. And listen, they, you know what? They would use my playlist.
Oh, yeah. Katie has
my McG's Miami Vice playlist.
McG's Miami Vice. But we have to change the title to Coutagast. Coutagast Miami Vice.
Coutagast Miami Vice. I have to make a new playlist.
Well, there's something to do. That's still good in the world. But Katie's making playlists on Spotify. I love you. You're the best. Thank you so much for doing this. Folks, enjoy the series. Katie will be back soon. We'll talk more about that. But enjoy Roman, and that's it. So cashing your dough and flow to this fashion show, pound for pound, anywhere you go. Yo, ain't no city in the world like this. And if you ask how I know, I got to plead the fifth.
Miami in the city where the heat is on, all night on the beach to the break of dawn. Welcome to Miami.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.